Blog Talk Radio.
We welcome you to Identity Theft of the Self. Do call in with your questions, comments, concerns at 845-277-9406. Call in to Identity Theft of the Self with John Warren and Ellen Hartwell at 845-277-9406. Let's discover together what is the self. How do we use that inner unencumbered self to create the reality we desire? Call in, share your experience, 845-277-9406. And again, we welcome you to Identity Theft of the Self. Hello, hello, hello. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, wherever you're listening from. John and I welcome you to Identity Theft of the Self. I'm Ellen Hartwell and my illustrious and infamous, I mean famous co-host, John. How are you today? Oh, John, are you there? Oh, dear. John? no can hear, Jules. Are you there, John? Well, I can't hear you, John, so I would suggest that you call back in, okay? Try again, John. I can't hear you. Okay, so moving right along, here we are. John will be back in a moment, I am certain. And we're going to be talking about very interesting stuff today. How do we practice what we know? We've been talking about the authentic self. We've been talking about how the authentic self is unencumbered by anything from the past, and how whether we are in the moment or whether we're not. And how do we know if we're in the moment? Well, if we're truly in the moment, we are in fact in touch with the authentic self, which is unencumbered. So the authentic self is full of power and full of an ability to create the reality that we truly desire. And John, I think you're there now. So how are you today?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you just fine. Thank you for coming in.
Oh.
I appreciate that.
Okay, I'm getting a big echo. Oh, no, it's crazy. What's going on with Blog Talk Radio?
So you can yell at it. It's attenuating. Say echo, echo, echo.
Echo, echo, echo. Okay, this is funny. I don't know. It seems better now.
I don't know,
Ellen. Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine. So what I was saying was that the authentic self is very powerful, and we've learned throughout these weeks that the authentic self is unencumbered by race, mind, consciousness, and in the authentic self is great power to create with God, Spirit, Universe, the reality that we desire. And in desiring something, we have set something in motion. When we affirm it, we remain positive about it. We have set out our word into the plasticity of the mind of God, and it cannot return to us void because we've been given that power in the authentic self, which is positive and which is always in full connection with Creator, whether we believe that or not or think that or not. It is so. And so the mind of God being a plastic thing, we can push our fingers against it and it takes the form of our fingers. Therefore, our word, our spoken word, we command to ourselves to be positive, to be authentic, to say, I don't care what anybody thinks, I don't care what the world says, I now have this. We stay in the now and we say, I now have this. So we'll pick something not too far out of range. So I now have a new couch. I now have it. And you look in your living room and there's no new couch there. Well, no, not yet. But you affirm that you have it. And every time you have a negative thought about it, you counter it, you visualize that beautiful new couch. And you know what? Before long, you'll have a beautiful new couch. So my question to you, John, is we do this, we affirm it, we know it, we stay in the now, and we're very affirmative about what we're pushing into God's mind, which will come back to us in its perfect form. Why is it that when I say I want a blue couch, I end up with a beautiful black leather couch, but it's still a couch? Why is that, John?
What? Okay. Because you didn't wait until the blue couch showed up.
I mean,
because you didn't walk 10 more feet. You didn't walk 10 more feet in the IKEA and go, I want a blue couch. There's the blue couch. Ellen, I will say that I understand, I get what you're getting at. I mean, in terms of a blue couch, what stuff like that is too easy. What my take on that is, look, when it comes to stuff like blue versus black, you should get the blue couch. I mean, just go and get the blue couch. And is my answer to that. In the broader sense, I mean, what you're getting at is, and I understand this, I think, is and correct me if I'm wrong, is we always want to leave God open-ended at the top, meaning that for some reason the black couch, metaphorically speaking, serves you and served every being involved with the black couch on a higher vibrational level. But I mean, I can't really grasp the idea of a couch because I think you can just go get a blue couch. But the upshot is that you become a person who gets the couch that you want. That's what the goal is here. I am a person who has the things that I like and want around me. And you become that person, and the right couch, no matter the color, will be in your life. It can't not be in your life. I mean, that's the goal of all of this practice. It can't not be there. It's impossible for it not to be there. When you become a person who enjoys and has the things that you want in your life, and that's the goal. That's where we are headed in this practice is, yes, we can treat and demonstrate for things, for stuff, and we will then, you know, given we keep practicing and taking the action, I am a person who has a month of vacation every year. That's who, but the goal is to become that person, and then what the form of the vacation turns out to be just becomes sort of the cake. The goal isn't actually to get the vacation. The goal isn't actually, and this is the hard stuff. It's the final step. The goal isn't to get the couch. In a weird way, the couch doesn't matter at the end of it. The goal is to become the person who manifests the things that you want with great ease. And we see these people everywhere. I mean, this practice has become so prevalent. And because of social media and because the fact that media is everywhere, you can find people who are masters that who are doing this all the time, but what they do first come the person who has what they want.
But
you understand what I'm saying, Ellen? I mean, in a weird way, I had to start with the start of this process is the I want. The thing that, you know, going into the new year, especially, that's so important to remind ourselves of is that the goal here is actually to go to the I am and to be that person. And then the color of the couch doesn't matter. You have the couch. The goal is the couch. The goal is the comfort. Well, it's even broader than that. The goal is elegance and comfort in your living room, I guess. Is you are a person who lives with comfort and ease.
Yes, and I think all those impressions that we put out on the plasticity of the mind of God through our thinking, through our emotion, through our visioning, we get better and better at it. So maybe I manifest a black couch instead of a blue one. But then the next time I want a couch, I might have gotten better at using the skills I've been given so that I'll actually get a blue couch. What matters what matters is that if I keep practicing, impressing on the mind of God that which I desire, and I don't give up, I just keep at it, and I stay positive, and I visualize it, and I'm excited about it, even though it may not be in front of me right now, I will get better and better and better at demonstrating or manifesting that which I truly desire, because it is a practice. The practical application is to keep at it. Don't give up and hear yourself talking. What are you talking about? Oh, I never get what I want. I really wanted a blue couch, but I got a black one. No. Hey, you know what? I got a black couch. I am so excited. Well, I thought you wanted a blue one. I did, but you know what? I love this black couch, and as a matter of fact, it fits in with my decor even better with the blue one. And if I really want a blue one, the next time I'll just keep at it. I'll be better and quicker at demonstrating what I want if I practice and hit the apply button by thinking positively, getting those emotions to follow your thoughts, which they do naturally. Stay positive. Listen to what you're saying. Are you speaking negatively or positively? And every time that you're really in that zone of, no, I got this. I got this. I'm going to keep at it. I'm going to give thanks. I'm going to affirm. I'm going to give thanks again. And that you desire will show up exactly as you desire it in and over time with practice. That's my point, Sean.
I see what you're saying. I mean, I get it now. I mean, I didn't know you were, I didn't quite get, I think it's because it's the new year and I was thrown by not being able to be heard in the first moment. I see what you're saying.
I hear you, Sean.
Yes, the upshot is that I think a couch is very easy. I mean, it's not, that's what, I understand the example. I mean, a couch is, we live in a world where there's abundance of couches. And so if it's something that I really want that I keep not attaining, that becomes a matter of practice for me and keeping adjusting my thinking to I keep adjusting my thinking to that is the final goal. But if I want to demonstrate food for the masses in front of me, it doesn't necessarily, I'm not good enough to make it fishes and loaves right now. What I am good enough to do is say I'm a person who always has an abundant flow and the people around me always have an abundant flow of food. Now, how the form of that food comes to pass doesn't really matter. It's creamed corn in a can or it's El Pollo Loco, it doesn't matter. It doesn't need to be fishes and the loaves right now. Eventually, the goal is to become the person who can demonstrate the fishes and the loaves. Right away, immediately, to stop calling it a miracle. It isn't a miracle, it's a demonstration. And to be in that presence so powerfully, and to be standing still in that presence so powerfully, that the universe comports itself to manifest what it is that I want. Now, that takes process to me. That is something that takes, I have to stretch into that. I have to lean into that. And we all have, because of childhood or because of past lives, whatever it is that you believe in, we all have things that we're better at and worse at in terms of manifesting and manifesting quickly. The trap for me is to go, it has to be this, and then therefore nothing else. The good, the perfect becomes the enemy of the demonstration. And that's what I have to get untrapped from. And because at the end of the day, a person like me, I mean, again, I could say, go and get the blue couch. I mean, but the upshot is the couch doesn't, the color of the couch is not important. What matters is that there's a couch and it's comfortable and I like it and it makes me happy. That's all that really matters. So, there.
And I think we can get to a more, yes, we can go out and buy a blue couch, but maybe it's not the couch. Maybe it's the money for which you, with which you can buy that blue couch. Who knows? But the point is that we can get better and better with practice, applying what we've learned here and getting rid of negative patterns. I mean, I hear it all the time when people talk, oh, you know, I'm never going to have this, and gee, I can't have that. And I say, wait a minute, can you hear yourself? And they don't like it, but it's, and I'm talking people ask for help, not just on the street, but, you know, you're saying I can't have it, and you know what? You're exactly right. You can't. Or I'll never. That's right. You'll never. So don't watch how you're talking and say, I have this, or I can, whatever. Be positive, and in time, your feelings will catch up with those positive thoughts, and you'll get better and better at being willing to allow yourself, allow is a very important word, allow yourself to practice, and the more you practice, the better you get at it, as with anything else. And that leads to demonstrating more quickly, manifesting more quickly, manifesting more exactly. But when we start out as a child drawing a picture, it's a stick figure. And then if we have a talent and a desire, it will become something even better. But we start somewhere. And just because we're only drawing stick figures doesn't mean we say, oh, this doesn't work or this isn't right. You go, no, I just need to practice more. And we'll find that it does. Because as we manifest a parking spot, guess what? We're releasing negative patterns. And every time we demonstrate or manifest something, we are releasing negative patterns. And so we get closer and closer to that place of, you know what? I'm getting better at this. Why? Through practice. That's what I think, John. And I'd love to hear you talk to me about that. But we do have to take a quick break here on Identity Theft of the Self. We will be right back. Get ready. I'm about to play my favorite commercial. Are you feeling like you've done it all? All the affirmations, all the meditations, everything you can think of, prayers, standing on your head, spitting wooden nickels, and still there are those few things that you haven't manifested in your life. And it is frustrating. It truly is. Well, there's something going on there. There's a belief that you haven't uncovered that is halting you in some way from manifesting that which you desire. So to the rescue comes John Warren. He will help you uncover the belief systems that are keeping you back, as well as uncover those, if you don't already know, that have helped you. John is an expert at manifesting things. He can teach you how in such a quick and beautiful and gentle and enlightening way. So John Warren to the rescue. Can you hear the helicopter in the background? Yeah, that's John. He's about to drop into your life and rescue you in the sense of pointing out to you those patterns which are holding you back. And I don't know about you, but I feel we all need someone to do that for us now and then. And why not go to an expert on manifestations? That would be John Warren. Oh, how do you get him? Oh, you just go to my site. It's simple, ellenhartwell.com, and there he'll be. Set up a time, and he'll rescue you out of this hamster on a wheel feeling you've gotten. You watch and see if he doesn't. I want a helicopter. Okay, I have a helicopter. I know it. I give thanks for it. Wait
no,
a minute.
Ellen,
I don't mean
Ellen,
that.
I really don't want one. Well, but you want to change the pattern, Ellen? You want to change the pattern? I am a person who has a helicopter. That's the key. That's good. You can get there. You can get there with that. But the simplest way, and to stay there, and I say this over and over again, the breaking of the patterns here is, I know this from my own life and my own experience. And let me tell you, I have some embedded ones. And I happen to have the belief system that we come in and we choose, either consciously or with a level of consciousness, our parents and our situation and where we come from, that we come in and we do that. And there's some embedded patterns with me that I have in the past. It's taken a long time. I would say this. It's taken a lot of practice to really even see the pattern. And then to address it in the most powerful way possible. And we have to start wherever we are. And don't get me wrong, I think there are levels here. We start wherever we are. But for me to get to I am a person who, which is really actually a very, very powerful statement. So I am a person who has, say, the helicopter, whatever. If you observe the people, and one of the things that we don't talk about enough, Ellen, I really don't believe the people we spend so much time drilling into our minds that our thoughts become our reality, which is true and it's important. But sometimes we need to take a break from that and just observe the people who have become what we want or what they want to become very good. And I'm a sports fan, so I see this all the time. It's been a great part of my spiritual practice to observe the way the top-notch athletes talk. Not all of them, but most of them. And I always go to Serena Williams and all sorts of other places. And they become the person who is at the top of the field more than I have a national championship trophy. Or I am a person who is in an environment. I am a person who wins championships. I am a champion. And or I am a person who, you know, always has more than enough money. And there are people like this. And if you can't convince yourself quickly or even slowly over time, you still have that nagging thing saying, well, no, you're not. Money's hard. Because you have some deeply embedded pattern from your childhood or from past lives or from wherever that says living in this world is difficult and money's hard to come by. And this is one that I've dealt with. I've had to practice over and over and over. One of the best ways to get around it and to smash patterns is to get around people and environments, like-minded people, who do in fact have money flowing all the time. They're out there, especially if you live in a city. You don't have to go far. Go and sit. I mean, one of the things that Ernest Holmes recommended early on to one of his early clients who was having money issues is what you need to do first is go and sit in the Waldorf lobby. Just go and sit there. Go and be in that mental space, in that mental atmosphere of people who don't sweat and don't struggle every day in terms of how things are going to get paid for. And that's one of the best ways to address patterns is to observe the people who have attained what you think you want or have attained what they want, because it's all the same process. And what do they do? How do they think? How do they go about their days? And, you know, Napoleon Hill discovered this in his seemingly lifetime worth of study of people who had a lot of money and people who had great wealth. Is they had ways of thinking and being that were specific. No matter where the wealth came from, they were specific ways of thinking and being. And one of the first and best ways to, if you want to be that person, who is very successful at fill in the blank, find the people who already are. And if you can't, then convince yourself on some level of why you will be the person who broke the pattern. If you are 50 and all of the wealth that you find in the people that you admire, they made it in their 20s, then you need to say, I'm going to be the person who does this in my 50s. And here's why. I am that person. And then start being that person as quickly and as consistently as possible. Every step you take, every line you stand in, you are a person who, fill in the blank, is successful at, who has made a lot of money, who has always has money. You are that person no matter where you are, what's happening, no matter what's in front of you. And one of the things, too, and I'll end on this, Ellen, because this is a big one for me, is, in fact, one of the things that we do to break our patterns is deny our senses. And this is where the information that we are getting is spirit spent. Keep clear about where you are headed and be in that space as much as possible. And that will, the universe will start. I mean, Abraham Hicks says 17 seconds. I always say, practice something for 30 days. Be that person for 30 days. If you're beginning this by the fifth or sixth day, by the tenth day at the latest, the world you live in will start to be visibly different and comport itself in a different way than it did at the beginning. And as you practice and you get better, you will start getting information almost immediately. That's what Abraham Hicks is talking about. You will start getting reflections back almost immediately. The last thing that I want to say, that people stop. They think the information that they're getting back immediately, like, oh, yeah, that happened. I thought about my perfect mate, and then the next day I was at the store and I met this guy or this girl and she was great and we talked. I think that's it. They stop there. They stop at the first piece of information. I don't know if that's the right person or not at the grocery store. Keep being the person who is involved in a wonderful marriage. They exist. There are wonderful marriages in this world. We have proof of it. Be that person and keep being that person until the demonstration is fully orbed. Not just the beginning information. That's another thing that stops people from breaking their patterns, and this is important in the new year, is that they get a piece of information and they go, oh, good. And they tell your friends or, you know, whatever, you put it out there, I got this, this is great. And it's like, well, then you retreat back to your natural, where you've been for most of your life. Keep being that person. Because I don't know if the first piece of information is the first piece of information is dove that God sent Noah. It's not the land, usually. Until we get really good, and then we just go fishes and loaves right now. I'm not there yet. I don't know anybody who's there yet. But eventually we get there. And I think that's important. I mean, those are the components of breaking patterns is become, move into becoming the person. And if you can't become the person, fake it. Go into the environment. Go and sit. If you're in L.A., sit in you know, the richest, nicest hotel in Beverly Hills, in the lobby. Just go and sit there for 15 minutes and feel the difference between that and whatever, the dollar store, which I like the dollar store. But I never go to the dollar store with a sense of poverty. I go with a sense of abundance because it makes me happy. But if you can't do that, do not go to the dollar store. Go and sit in the lobby, even if you're not spending a dime. Go and walk into the lobby and feel the difference if you want to be that person. Become the person who is in financial flow all the time. That's A. And B, keep going until you get there. The first piece of information back from the universe is not the final piece of information, unless you are a master already, in which case you can stop listening to the show. but keep going and keep being that person and be that person and be that person. And then the last piece of breaking the patterns is when you get the information back from being a person who has the most wonderful couch in the world, because there are people who are just, you know what, they don't think about it. They go, oh, well, no, I am that guy. I don't think about it. I am that guy. And the thing, and the universe rolls around in front of their feet and says, yeah, you are that guy. Here it is. Here it is. Be grateful. Immediately be grateful, and part of that is giving back, part of that is just stating that you're grateful, part of that is, you know, but be in a state of gratitude. And honestly, the truth is, Ellen, if we're at the beginning of this process, we can choose any of those things to start. I don't know if that makes sense. I always end my
little piece of the other.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. We want to be it. We want to affirm it. We want to know it. We want to use the power of I am, because we need to bring God into all of this stuff. We don't leave God out on the street when we're affirming and manifesting. We bring him right in. And one of the reasons we practice is to get more intimate with God, to get closer to God. And it happens naturally, because the more we practice, the more we affirm, the more we use the power of I am, et cetera, et cetera, the closer we are to a relationship, a personal relationship with the God of our understanding. And therefore, in practice, we release to God the negative thoughts, the negative words, the negative speech, the negative behaviors, whatever. We release it in affirmation, and God says, oh, you don't want that anymore? Not really. Okay, I'll take that away. And we co-create a reality with the most powerful force in the universe. And that means that that ally, that co-power, is working through us. And the more we know that, the more we affirm that, the more we say, I am a person who, the closer we are to the God of our understanding, and therefore the closer we are to understanding the tools that live within the authentic self, unencumbered by what other people think, what you call spirit spent. The authentic self is not encumbered in that way. And so as we access that power, we're expanding our consciousness. We're expanding our relationship with God. We're expanding our relationship with ourselves in the knowledge of the tools in our tool belt and how to use them. And that naturally would break negative patterns. I do want to say that very shortly, Maria will be on the show. And Maria is a wonderful psychic and Reiki healer and all of that. But more importantly, or as importantly, she does absolutely incredible work with manifestation and how to bring people into a state of mind that allows them to manifest what they do desire. John, are you still there? Because I heard a big click. Uh-huh. Oh, there you are. There you are.
I thought I lost you. I wanted, you know what, I wanted to have a joke at the ready, but I don't have any. There must be a joke, which I'll think of probably after the show's over. There was a big click. Yes, they switched me off, Ellen. I'm done. I'm out of here. Nope, I'm still here. I don't know what that big click was, but
well,
it might have been. Yeah. Switch them off.
But anyway, I'm excited to bring Maria in shortly. And Maria is so good because you can say to Maria, well, what about this? You know, I just am having so much trouble bringing this into my life. And she's like, oh, well, have you thought of this? Or what are you thinking about here? Or what are you thinking about there? She may use different words than you or I do, but she is great at manifesting. And her belief system is very, very broad. So that's always entertaining. She will be joining us here very shortly. And we're going to take a quick break here, and we'll be right back, hopefully with Maria. Yes, we will be right back here on Identity Theft of the Self. Did you know that Maria offers Reiki healing? I know you know she's a superior tarot card reader and also just straight clairvoyant reader, but did you know she offers Reiki healings? She does, and she's a master at it. She's had her training. She knows what she's talking about. She knows what she's doing, and she'll clear the energy centers in your body. And what does that do for you? Well, it makes you feel better. It gives you more energy, and you're able to manifest better because there's a clear flow between all of your chakras. So contact Maria today for your Reiki healing. That's askmarianow.info. askmarianow.info, and really enjoy her site and get in touch with her for a tarot card reading, clairvoyant reading, Reiki healing. She does it all. So contact Maria at askmarianow.info. And welcome back to Identity Theft of the Self. And we have the illustrious Maria with us. How are you, Maria?
Hi, Ellen. How are you? I'm doing well. Thank you so much for asking.
Oh, of course. And John, are you with us? Say hi to the nice lady, John.
Hi, John. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good, Maria. It's so nice to hear your voice. There's something about I know you don't think you have an accent, but you know what? You sound like New York to me, and it makes me very happy.
Oh, thank you.
What are you
saying? I have an accent,
John. Yeah.
Well,
what are you talking about? Anyway, Maria, I thank you so much for joining us here. I really do appreciate you taking the time to do that. I hope you heard your commercial. And if you stay on after we say goodbye, you'll hear another one about you. So we let people know about you, Maria.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And thank you for having me.
Oh, of course. You're welcome. Thank you. So, Maria, we are here talking about practical application of science of mind, law of attraction. And I want especially to hear your story about Vito. Go for it, Maria.
Vito was my dream puppy. I had wanted him, seen him in my dreams, wanted this specific dog for about, I'm going to say it was about 4 years, and I guess with the work overload and working in Manhattan, not getting home really late. But every time I got home, I thought of this dog that I wanted to be jumping up and down. I saw him, I felt him, and I did it for, I have to say, it was a four-year run with that thought in my head. And I knew, I could see the details of this dog, and I felt him. And one day when my workload changed and I switched jobs and I was available to be home for a dog and give it the attention, I woke up one morning and I said, I'm going to buy a dog. So I headed back to where I was born and raised in Brooklyn, and I went to this place that sells these dogs, and I'm looking around. And, I mean, of course they try to sell you everything they have available. I was looking. I didn't feel it. I didn't see him. So I picked up a Shih Tzu, and I was with somebody, and he said, just take the dog. I mean, you keep analyzing these dogs, and he was getting annoyed with me. So I look at the dog, and I really wanted to leave with this dog. I really wanted a dog, so I says, all right. And they actually put a bow on the dog's head. I was filling out the papers. I was just about to pay, and I didn't feel it. I just did not feel it. I liked it. Don't get me wrong. The dog was adorable. But I didn't have the connection, and I stopped for a minute. He had gone outside to pick up the car so I can go out with the dog and all the packages, you know, that you buy. And I went looking around the place again. I go to another area of dogs, which I wanted a Maltese. This was a Shih Tzu that they had picked out, you know, that we wanted to pick now first. And there where the Shih Tzus were underneath the paper, that shredded paper, where the dogs come, you know, where they, you know, they got the paper shredded, all of a sudden this little white pom-pom pops up his head, and there he was. It was the exact dog I wanted. I went, oh, my God, he's in a Shih Tzu. He was not even in the cage where he belonged. He was among the Shih Tzu hiding. I grabbed him. I said, I want that dog. And the, one of the girls said, well, you just took this one. Like, they prepped it. They put the bow in there. I said, I know, but she'll find a better home somewhere else. I love the dog, but I'm not connected. And I wind, that's how I wind up getting Vito. And Vito was the dog that I actually visualized for over the 4 years and playing with him. And the I wanted him white. I wanted him to have black eyes. I had this whole visual of this dog. And that's exactly what I wind up leaving with. So I do believe that when you're intent, like my next mission is my new house when I move. I already know what I want. I already see it. I already see the shape of it. I already see the pool. And I know that's coming. It might not. Things don't happen in a blink of an eye because that could be good, bad, or indifferent, right? So we don't want things in a blink. But I know it's coming, and I do. I make dream boards. I have my dream board where I see it every day, and I do manifest. I think about it, but I think the key to manifestation is feeling it. Like, you gotta believe. You have to feel it like you already know it. You're not even doubting it, and that's the way I have manifested certain things in my life. Like, I know what this house is next. I just know it. It's not even a doubt in my head. It's coming. And I believe it, and that's how you do it. To me, that's what works to me. And I'm sure it probably works for most people who manifest.
I agree with you, Maria.
I have a question, Maria.
Sure.
Because this is curious to me. Because in the middle of telling us this story, which I love this story, I love it. And I love it for a few reasons. One is that you patient, even when you were on the verge of getting what you thought you wanted, you went, you know what? In other words, you were in enough touch with yourself to stop. Say, I don't know, this isn't it. This is not right. But
I felt strong.
The question I have is that initially, I mean, the reason why you just didn't go get a dog is because you weren't able to stay home enough. Is that what you said?
I wasn't home enough. I had a condo in New York, and it was a one-bedroom. It was a building, but I owned the condo in the building, and I couldn't see how I would leave my house 7:30 in the morning and not walk until 11 o'clock at night. And
so you couldn't do it. Yeah.
I didn't want to leave a dog in a place like that. No.
Yeah. Exactly. So I guess my question is, in a weird way, the demonstration since then, since you got the dog, you became a person who can spend more time with the dog. I guess.
Because I work more.
True?
Yeah. That is that. Well, because I work at home now, so.
Great.
I make my schedule around him, actually.
I know. Believe me, I have a dog. I have a dog I'm stuck on that I love. But I guess in a weird way, the manifestation was in some ways the dog was the way that led you to becoming a person who worked at home. In other words, it wasn't just the dog. It was the dog represented something. It felt to me, as you were saying, it represented something much larger, which is your expanded life. Because now you work at home. I don't know what your exact situation is. But you became a person who could have a dog, which means it represented that you're representative of your life being expanded and different.
Well, it changed my lifestyle tremendously, even before the dog came to play. But the thought of the dog was there. And then I started getting a deep dislike of the place where I was working out of, you know. I'm very creative. And they put me in administration, and although I could administer myself, I don't like taking orders, to be honest with you. So I don't work good under that energy. So the intensity of that not being lined up with what I was supposed to do, now I'm in a place. So that triggered it. And the fact that the dog was so strong in my head, I just wanted the complete change, and I did make it. And as soon as I made that change, I increased my business working at home and freelancing the way I love. I am my own boss, and I got my dog. So, yes. So now the house is coming because, all right, I got the place for the dog. It's big. It's on my time. But now he needs a yard and a pool, and he needs all the good fun. He needs it. So, and I'm getting it for him.
I love that the dog. I just love that the dog is the thing that pulled you toward the manifestation.
I'm more loyal to him than a husband. Forget it.
Well, I totally understand that. I just love, in terms of the metaphysics of the story, which is what I mean is, in the last segment, I was in a roundabout way trying to say is that here's some ways to manifest, but to a certain degree, it doesn't really matter. Once you decide to expand your life, it doesn't matter where you start. And you started with, I want a dog.
Yeah.
Therefore, all of this stuff needs to change. And the dog just kept being your North Star. I love it. And I love that the dog will produce the house next. It's fantastic.
And the fact is that I was leaving without this specific, he was getting annoyed with me because I was being relentless looking in this pet store, and the girl was taking me out every kind of dog that she could imagine, and if I just take a dog, and let's go, and he went to go get the car, and I swear the feeling was so, and then Vito pops his head, that's why he's so mental, because he popped his head out of nowhere, not even in a cage is where the Maltesers was, he was in a completely different cage, buried under white shredded paper, and he was white, all I seen was his eyeball pop out. And I said, wait a minute. And there he was with the exact dog I visualized, the exact. So, yeah, he was purposely sent. Yes, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
mm-hmm.
You brought him in. And I mean, your vibration matched his, is what I love. I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
Well, and Maria, I remember you talking to me, you know, for years, really, two or three anyway, about, you know, you want a dog, and we'd pray about it and all that, and you say, no, Ellen, I will have that dog. It was like you were so sure that you were going to have that dog. You believed it, you prayed for it, whatever you do in your world, Maria, but you just, that was a decision, and you lived your life as though you were a person who had the dog, and everything fell into place, from moving to a different arena to being able to work from home to having the dog. And now the next step in your journey here is your house. And I'm as sure you're going to get that house that you want with that dang swimming pool as I am that my name is Ellen Hartwell. Why? Because you are so determined. One of the things I admire so much about you, Maria, is when you decide something's going to be, dadgummit, it's going to be. And there ain't no fooling around here. I'm not playing around.
I don't care.
I love it.
Maria, can I ask you something? Because I'm afraid the segment's going to be over. You touched on something that I want to touch on, which is that you said you felt like that for you, the most important aspect of this manifesting is the feeling behind it. Would you unpack that a little bit for us?
I know that, and even as I was younger, because I used to do this when I was younger, I knew that certain feelings when I wanted something would get intense. It's almost like a obsession feeling, like, you know, you want it, you're not taking no for an answer, it is it, it's already coming. I my mind is strong enough to focus on that. And I say that like that because if you are not determined enough where you believe in anything you do in life, like this perfect, like every job that I've wanted, I wound up being a national educator for a big hair company, and I've owned salons, I've owned barbershops, I've been an intuitive, I've always incorporated the two of them, but I knew it. Like, there wasn't anything stopping to me. I had four kids, and I remember my husband, I don't know how you go on to do all this raising kids. Well, I did. I went to school part-time when they were in school. I got my licenses. I got everywhere till I became a national educator. I did everything I had. I had the salon. I had the barbershop. Did it all. That's what I wanted to do at that time. And when I decided to go work, you know, still in the hair industry and go into ministry, well, they put me in administration because of all my connections, and I was very good in the hair industry. That was off my vibration. That wasn't for me sitting behind a desk. That's just not who I am. So, and I already started to feel that shift. And I already started to realize that I wanted things a little lighter because that is a long day. It's a hard day. It's a lot of talking, a lot of working. So even in the hair industry now, still doing it, I do it on my time. You know, and I cooperate my spiritual work a lot. So the spiritual work overrode it now, and my hair just blends in with it. It's my choice how I want to do it, and I felt it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. Like Ellen says with my new house, I already know. I see it. I want the dog to have this gorgeous yard. I mean, he did influence a lot. It's all about him. Okay. And it's all about the feeling, like it is. It's all about the feeling. You got to want it enough in anything in life. You have to want it enough. You can't just say, well, I want that, and then sit on a couch and not think about it no more. That doesn't work. It's not going to work. You have to have your focus on it. And you can manifest anything if you want it bad enough and believe it.
Yeah. Believe it. That's the key.
Absolutely. I love it.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to take a break in a minute. But, Maria, don't hang up until after the next commercial because I want you to hear it. And I would love to have you come back on again. Would you do that, please?
I would love to. Anytime you want me to pick up a phone. Thank you, John. Thank you so much. It was a pleasure for allowing me to share my Vito story. I will give you an update when I have the house, because Vito will come bark, and I'll have him bark for you and tell you how he likes it.
Okay, thank you so much,
thank
Maria.
Thank you, Ellen. Thank
you,
John.
We're going to take a break, and we will be right back here on Identity
Have
Test
a great day, everybody.
You too. Have you visited AskMariaNow.info? You haven't? Why not? You should see her site. It's gorgeous. Maria is a psychic and intuitive tarot card reader. She is a Reiki master, and she gives the most detailed, beautiful, uplifting, honest readings. She is fantastic. Go book a reading with her now at AskMariaNow.info. That's AskMariaNow.info. So, John, what a great guest. I mean, Maria is full of enthusiasm. She believes this. She focuses on it. She puts her intent on it, and off she goes. And let me tell you, I'm here to tell you, and of course I won't give you details, Maria has had obstacles in her way, and she goes, I don't care. I don't care. This is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen. And she stays steady in her belief, in her faith, in her treatments, in her prayers. And by gum, this woman will manifest it. And she's such an inspiration to me because she'll come up against a negative thought pattern and she'll go, nope. And she'll work on it until it doesn't get in her way. Her ability to focus on the absolute, this is it. I don't want a gray dog with blue eyes. I want a white dog with black eyes. And she even trusted her feelings up to the moment of walking out of the pet shop with a dog that she didn't quite resonate with. She goes, I don't know. And then her little Vito sticks his head up out of the papers in a place that he shouldn't have even been. He should have been in with the Maltese dogs. And so, to me, it's such a beautiful, absolutely perfect example of we don't give up. This, she didn't manifest her dog overnight. It took several years, but she never gave up on it. And all of the pieces in her life came together. So God conspires with us to manifest exactly what we desire. Isn't that awesome, John?
Well, it's totally awesome. And what I love about this, again, Ellen, and I want to repeat back, I mean, because I love that story, is what she, and I, you know what, I hope she's listening. She can call back and correct me next week. But what I get out of the story, what I glean from listening to her, is that what Maria constantly wanted to do is keep expanding her life. The dog was actually the thing that moved forward because, you know, when you can go to a rescue or go to a dog place and get any dog. What she wanted to do was find to change her life here, and the dog was the thing that pulled her forward. And in a weird way, it doesn't matter. It goes back to that, you know, there's a religious science or law of attraction adage. It's if you want to become a millionaire, you know, and manifest your first million, it's not about the $1 million. It's about the person you become by proving this to yourself. By proving the law of attraction to yourself, you become a different person. And Maria, you know, she even expressed it. She changed her, everything changed. Things changed, and now she's becoming the person. So the dog pulled her forward. It's not about the $1 million. It's about the person you become who has $1 million. And that's so beautiful. It's so beautiful about it. And why I love this story. And plus, she's just charming. I mean, let's be honest. She's charming, and we love
Maria. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And she's so good at what she does. I really think that her whole her whole demeanor is that of, no, I know this is true. And by gum, she manifests like nobody I know. John, we do have a caller waiting for us, so let's take that call before we continue. Thank you for calling into our show. You are live on Identity Theft of the Self. May I have your name, please?
Hi, this is Laura.
Hello. Oh, hi, Laura. How are you doing, hon?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm great. John, say hello to the nice lady.
Hi, Laura. I hate the interference when we go back, all three of us. What's up? What's going on?
Yeah, what would you like to share with us, or did you have a question, Laura?
You know, I didn't. I just wanted to share with you, thank you for putting on this show, and you guys are both such an inspiration. And
thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah.
Thanks. We pause for a second. You know, you can keep saying that if you like. Go
yeah.
on. No, thanks, Laura. Thank you very much for the call.
Yes.
Okay.
Did you want to add anything else, Laura? Or do you want to listen? Do you want me to put you on mute?
Yeah, if you could put me on mute. And, I just wanted to, because for some reason my computer will not allow me to listen to you guys live. So I get to call in What do you guys do when you guys, you know, kind of get off track and you lose a little faith sometimes?
You get right back on it. You get right back on it. You know, you feel like, okay, I've lost my faith. I'm full of doubt, full of fear. I've been working my brains out and affirming and praying and doing whatever it is I do, and I'm still not getting what I want. That's when you're at your most powerful. Because you can say, I don't care what it looks like. I change my perception by affirming, no, this is so, and as we were just talking about, being that person who is successful or who has the perfect mate or whatever it is you're trying to manifest, and you just be that and you counter every negative thought with a positive one, and you feel the energy. You imagine how you would feel when this thing you're waiting for to come through happens, and like, oh my God, that's fantastic. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And you're excited and you're enthusiastic and you're energized, even though right now it's not in front of you. You act as if it were true and you speak as if it were true and you affirm it and you release those negative thought patterns, and guess what? You'll get there. John, what do you have to say to Laura?
Well, I agree. I mean, I will second all that, Laura, and I think this is important because, you know, I think a lot of things are important, but here's a big one, because I lose faith 600 times a day, and that's an exaggeration, but you know what I mean, lose connection is what, when you say lose faith, what most people mean is they've lost connection, and they feel disconnected, or the noise of the outside world, because this is all an inside job, the noise of the outside world has become so strong, and sometimes that noise is actually just what your chatter is in your head. Your dishonest chatter, like, this is never going to happen, or I don't like how this worked out, or why is this going on, that has become so loud. And so if you can't go right back into being the person who has the, who is the fill in the blank, whatever you're working on, whatever you're doing right now, if you can't go there quickly or immediately, and I can't often, I have to go into the silence. And what I would recommend in terms of reaccruing and recharging, even if it's only, if you lose faith and you've lost track, you've lost connection, sit still for 5 minutes. If you have a phone with a timer, put your timer on. Very simply and practically, and often enough of the noise of the outside world will then fall away in that 5 minutes. Just sit still. I don't want to call it meditation. I don't want to call it anything. In the Master Key book, he talks about just sit, and he recommends 20 minutes a day. Do not move. Just sit still for 5 minutes. If in the middle of it, and interestingly, if you get good enough at this, you can do this anywhere. And if you practice this, what I would suggest, and that's all I was going to say to you, Laura, is if you lose track and lose faith, get into the silence, and then when enough of the outside noise falls away, you can bring back in, I am connected to all that has ever created anything, which is astonishingly good news. And I that energy is working through me on this. And then exactly what Ellen just said, then you pick that up exactly where Ellen just said, and you are the person who has the fill in the blank or is fill in the blank, whatever you're working on. But if you can't recharge and immediately go there, sit still for a couple of minutes, even 2 minutes, and you can rest, and a lot of the noise begins to fall away. I have to do that. I do that often, is what I will say to that, because I have momentum, Laura. I mean, and I'll finish up with this. I have momentum of bad ideas that sometimes I wake up in the morning and my head is going blah, 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 blah. So, you know, you're this and it's never going to end. What are you doing? You're full of it and all of that stuff that is usually, it's just, you know, and, you know, I wake up enough to get my coffee and then I go, okay, we're just going to be quiet for a few minutes. We're going to be quiet and we're going to let that noise fall away. And then I can actively engage my treatment or prayer or whatever it is that you call it. And I hope that answered your question, because I think that's a very good tactic to employ. Go into the silence. Mm-hmm.
That's really good. You know, and sometimes I feel like I'm very impatient. It's just not happening fast enough.
Sure. Oh, no, I totally get that. And that'll help you. I mean, being quiet for a few minutes a day will help you. And then the next step after that in the impatience arena is just start saying thank you for whatever has happened. Just start. I mean, I will tell you right now, I'm having clam chowder for lunch, and I can look at it right now where I'm standing and go, you know what, I'm grateful for that clam chowder. And, if, you know, it just takes a little practice. You know, I'm grateful for the salt that is going to go, I'm going to put on top of it. I'm grateful for, you know, whatever, the book I was reading this morning. I'm grateful for my dog who's sleeping in front of me. And that will tame that impatience, tame it, because it brings you into the present. The present, as Ellen says, you know, being in the present. Anyway, that's a great question. I mean, I love this kind of conversation, as you can tell. I love it.
That's awesome. So did that help you, Laura?
Yes, as usual. You're intuitive, Ellen. You picked up on everything, and so did you, John. Thank you guys so much. If you could mute me, that'd be great.
Great.
Okay, I will do that, and thanks for calling in, Laura. I really appreciate it. Take care. Okay, so, you know, such good questions and such a good food for thought there that we can fall out of our sense of connection, but the truth is, the fact is, the connection is never gone. We are always in alignment. We are always in the vortex, as Esther Hicks says. We are always in the presence of God, but we often forget it or get distracted by it or get discouraged. So, yeah, really, well, God may be there for you, but he certainly isn't there for me. And that's all hogwash. Of course, God is there for all of us. Where is God? Nope, not under the couch. No, God is within you. God is around you and within you at all times, working on your behalf, wanting you to rid yourself of these negative patterns, to impress on his mind, her mind, its mind, the on the plasticity of the mind of God. This is what I have, and because I have it, I am that. I'm behaving as though it were true. My vision is that is true, much like Maria and the dog. There's just nothing to talk about. This is how it is. And staying in that place, and when we're not in that place, it's human. And what we do is we say, okay, well, right now I'm not feeling it. Okay, what do I do? Well, you take a minute, like you said, go to the present, sit in the stillness, and really affirm that whether you feel it or not, in fact, God is around you and within you at all times and is working on your behalf. And so we can thank God for that. And then we feel it again, and we get a sense of it again so that we can be in that presence and have a sense of being fulfilled and completed in our demonstrations and in all aspects of our life, which is absolutely fantastic. Don't you think so, John?
I love that. Don't you think so? No, I think you're totally wrong, Ellen. Of course I think so. And, you know,
good. Let's argue.
We plagiarize everything in this science, and I think, you know, this is, you know, again, I mean, you know, the thing I will add to that moment is simply, if we can't get to the immediate affirmation and the immediate going back to, go into the silence, just be quiet. Don't do anything. Sit still. Let your head go on a rampage. But if you sit still for 5 minutes, eventually those crazy kids in your head that are screaming and hollering will get tired. And then, I mean, it says, be still and know that I am God. And that, and then the present will come back in. And if you can't get quite to the affirmation after that, just get to appreciation. Step two is just get to appreciation. I am so grateful for this coffee mug. And I am. I'm glad for the coffee mug. And then maybe, and then you can get to the affirmation. Get back to the affirmation.
Yes. We are running out of time here, John. Be in the presence. Yes. If nothing else, be in the presence. Affirm and acknowledge it. Give thanks for it. John, I want to thank you for being my co-host. We will be back next week. Happy New Year, everyone.
Mm-hmm.